Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the political and religious institutions which influence our nation, and who recognize the considerable malfeasance inherent in the media, the military, and global economic influences. We realize that these institutions are the problem, which means they cannot be the solution. There is no reason to haggle over whether the seats are blue or red in Washington. Therefore, our mission is to look behind the headlines so that we know who is perpetrating the tragedies that are besieging our planet. Because based upon this plague of adverse political, religious, military, and economic issues, we have at most 15 years until all hell is unleashed. As a result, in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through evidence and reason, since He alone is reliable, particularly regarding His guidance, regarding His covenant. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in this discussion is toll-free, 877-376-45. You notice one of the things I did not mention in the that list of beguiling influences was the climate. Yes, it is a tragedy what has happened in the Philippines, particularly in Tacloban. The superstorm wreaked havoc in that country. It didn't have to, of course. Nothing man could have done to have stopped the storm, but as I mentioned yesterday, there are two mountain ranges on Samar Island, the largest of which is not, you know, we're not talking about, you know, Sierra Nevada, Alps or Himalaya kind of mountains. We're just talking about rolling foothills, and the existence of rolling foothills, high ground, existed immediately to the west of Tacloban, within 5 miles, and within 20 miles to the east of Tacloban. And all one had to do was get up 10 feet higher than the sea level, and they would not have been bothered in any way, shape, or form by the storm surge that left so many dead. All the Filipino government would have had to have done was to provide transportation to move the people to those foothills, and no one would have died. You know, it's amazing that a country can have a military and yet not have the bulldozers and dump trucks and food and water stashes at the ready to clear out rubble in times like this, to transport people to safety at times like this, and to supply for their needs at a time like this. They can afford a military, but they can't afford the basics. They can afford a tank, which I've seen rolling down the streets, and yet they can't afford a bulldozer to clear out all of that rubble. What on earth is wrong with our priorities? America is feeling all wonderful that we're there helping out, and yet what did we send? Warships. Why is it that the world is so fixated on militaries and so supportive of militaries and so unwilling to turn swords into plowshares so that we can actually help people when they're in times like this and actually prevent them from being injured? But we didn't do any of that. Before I continue with this storm, I do want to mention one other thing that came up in the news, since it was several times in SRN. Obamacare. It's the Affordable Care Act. There's nothing affordable about it. There is nothing caring about it. The most responsible Americans, those who actually paid for their own insurance, those who either work for themselves or are independent and were responsible, saved enough money, made enough money to be able to provide for their own insurance, all of them are now uninsured. All of them. Whether their policy has notified them that it cannot be renewed or whether it will, the fact is there's not any of those policies that are grandfathered, and none of those policies are affordable under the new provision where everything that you can imagine has to be included in your health care. It doesn't make the health care better, as the president wants to say. It does make it more comprehensive, but Why is it better for example, my wife and I, we pay for our own health insurance. Why do we need maternity? She's had a hysterectomy. I've had a vasectomy. I think we can say those words on the air. We don't need maternity coverage. My wife and I have never used drugs. We will never use illegal drugs. We don't even use prescription drugs that are either painkillers or psychiatric drugs. There is no reason whatsoever for us to pay for insurance to deal with substance abuse. None. But our insurance, when it is renewed, will either have to have that or we won't be able to buy it anymore, according to the new law. We don't want pediatric care. Our children are adults. They now are engaged working for a living. Why should we have to have it? But that's the nature of this new plan. The government is going to tell you what you can have and what you can't have. Mostly what you can't have. So initially, the most responsible individuals are those that no longer can afford private insurance. The second group will be businesses. That mandate takes place within the year. Business sponsors, about 50% of all insurance in America. You see, you have about 10%, just shy of 10% of Americans are responsible for their own insurance. About 10% of Americans are uninsured. About 50% of Americans get their insurance from their business because the government has crippled businesses in many cases, making them uncompetitive in international markets, which is why America is no longer the leading manufacturing country in the world. It's why we're no longer even the world's largest market for automobiles. Because our businesses have been crippled by government mandates, regulations placed on business forcing them to provide health care. Well, the health care that they provide, while barely affordable now and in a tremendous burden to the productivity of those businesses, is about to become unaffordable. Within a year, those businesses must also meet the new Obama law, and every manner of coverage must be added, which means that either the employees' deductibles will go from very low to the many thousands of dollars, or their copays will do the same, or the business will no longer be able to afford them and will simply pay the fines. And, oh, by the way, as an individual or as a business, you don't comply, you're fined. And, of course, to pay for aspects of this new law, there are all sorts of new taxes, 13 in all. Ultimately, the goal of this is national socialized medicine. You see, once the business impact is complete, that will mean that the 60% of Americans that are insured through private insurance plans will find all of those plans unaffordable, and the only option for health care will be the government's marketplace. Total and complete socialized medicine. That's the goal. It will happen within a matter of years. There will only be one option. Now, with that, I'd like to turn back to a story that CNN is presenting regarding the what's called the hellstorm Haiyan, the one that devastated the communities in the south central Philippines. It's been a bad year, by the way, for tropical storms in the Philippines. In fact, a bad series of years. Just as in the Americas, there were no hurricanes that made landfall. I'm not even sure there was an Atlantic hurricane at all this year. I think there were a couple of tropical storms, but the tropical storms, none made landfall. It was an extraordinarily quiet year in the Americas, which normally received the brunt of hurricanes. I think there was a large storm that did manifest very late in the season off the Mexican coast, but was not a significant storm in terms of land impact, and none in the United States. And the reason was that the North Atlantic and the Central Atlantic off of Africa, where those storms are born, was abnormally cold and has been for the last year and a half. And the reason for that is that we are going through a period, a short-term period, of global cooling in the midst of a warming phase. And so the last 2 years have been considerably colder than previous years. This year is also going to be colder than previous years. Now, it was only a matter of time before one of the zealots that are the faithful fanning the flames of man-made global warming, which is a complete myth, was going to capitalize upon the tragedy of Haiyan to claim that that man was responsible and that men must change, otherwise men will ruin the planet. Well, it happened. It happened today in Europe. And it says, this is how the article reads. It says, with his country grappling with the damage from hellstorm, and that's his quote, Haiyan, a Philippines official launched a hunger strike Tuesday to pressure, I guess if this was yesterday, to pressure a UN climate change conference for concrete steps to fight global warming. I dedicated an entire week of programs to the myth of global warming. Now, I'd be a little careful here. The fact is the Earth is warming. Now, it's not warming right this very minute. In fact, the last 2 years it's been cooling. But we are in a warming trend. We entered that warming trend right around 1875. The warming trend will last between 300 as an absolute minimum and about 800 years as an absolute maximum. The Earth has endured countless. We can go back thousands upon thousands of years, in fact, hundreds of thousands of years. And there's absolute proof that on approximately 1,500-year cycles, with half of that being a warm period, half of that being a cold period, the Earth has gone through repeated cycles of an average of 750 years duration of warm followed by cool, followed by warm, followed by cool. It has absolutely nothing to do with the burning of fossil fuels. This has been in existence before man even existed. And it has been a trend that we can monitor with great specificity over the period of the rise and fall of the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the fall of the Roman Empire, what we call the Dark Ages, the medieval times, the Little Ice Age, and now entering a global warming period. Nothing to do with man. The proof of this has become ubiquitous and absolutely uncontroversial over the past 20 years. The research has been done in tree ring sampling around the globe. It's been done in ocean sediments around the globe. And we have proven, scientists have proven overwhelmingly, beyond any doubt, that these large cycles exist. Back to Shattering Myths, we're talking about the idiocy, the religious zeal that is associated with the advocates of man-made global warming. Nandirev Sano is such an example. He is the member of the Philippines Climate Change Commission. You know, they used to call it global warming, but now that that for the past 16 years the Earth isn't warming but in fact cooling, they now call it the Climate Change Commission. Yes, the climate does change, and it has for the entire history of the planet. He said that he was now fasting. Maybe he'll starve to death and rid the world of another idiot. In solidarity with my countrymen who are now struggling for food back home. Well, they're struggling for food back home because your nation was ill-prepared to deal with a very common disaster in the Philippines. That is why they're starving. And they ought not be starving. The Philippines ought to be better prepared than the nation is. And he says, including my own brother, who has been gathering the bodies of the dead with his own two hands. What my country is going through as a result of this extreme climate event, extreme climate event, it's a typhoon. You know, typhoons, tornadoes, earthquakes have been around for as long as we've had liquid water on this planet. Now, that's not the entire history of the Earth, but it's most of it. We're dealing with billions of years here. Billions. He calls it, this extreme climate event is madness. The climate crisis is madness, he said. Mr. President, we can stop this madness right here in Warsaw. The ego of that. This ego that that places man above all things, including the universe, saying that mankind is responsible for climate change and that man can change the climate. No, we can't. No, we didn't. The facts are irrefutable. The reason that glaciers have begun to shrink and that they did so starting in around 1875 is that was the end of the Little Ice Age. The Little Ice Age went from 1250 to 1875. Before that, there was the medieval warming period. Before that, there was the Dark Ages cooling period. Before that, there was the Roman warming period. Before that, there was the Greek cold period. They average about 600 to 700 years in duration. That is what is happening. We can't stop this. We didn't cause it. You're an idiot. Sano leads the Philippines delegation to the 19th Congress of the parties in Poland's capitals. He got a standing ovation. Oh, of course, praise from like-faithed fools. After he spoke, 4 days after Super Typhoon Haiyan struck his island nation with an estimated winds of 195 miles per hour. The storm has left nearly 1,800 people dead at last count. Despite the massive efforts of my country that it had exerted in preparing for the onslaught of this storm, which is a complete and utter lie, pal. You didn't have a bulldozer anywhere around. You didn't have a dump truck anywhere around. You didn't have trailers filled with food positioned on the hills adjacent to town to resolve these problems. You didn't have portable sanitation ready to be put into place. You didn't even have sheeting to provide cover for the people. You did nothing. Despite massive efforts that my country had exerted in preparing for the onslaught of the storm, you didn't even move the people out of harm's way. It was just a force too powerful. Even as a nation familiar with storms, Haiyan was nothing we have ever experienced before. Yeah, Haiyan was had wind speeds about the same as Camille when it hit the United States. And it's not all that dissimilar from many other hurricanes. Yes, it was at least initially thought to be higher winds than any other storm. But when it hit land, it was actually a class 3 hurricane. We've had lots of class 4s and class 5s make landfall in the United States. It was a big storm, but not all that uncommon. Idiot. He said... Sano is speaking, he says, but he said the Philippines refuses to accept that running away from storms, evacuating our families, suffering the devastation and misery, counting our dead will become a way of life. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't run away from a storm, you're as big an idiot as is Sano. You had 5 days warning. All you had to do was get to higher ground that was 10 feet higher than sea level. That's why you evacuate families. And if you think you're not going to have to do that in the future, you're going to be dead. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm Yana. We're talking about the idiocy of the man-made global warming myth, in particular of people who will take a storm like this one, and rather than take responsibility for being ill-prepared, for not moving people out of harm's way, Sano wants to blame anyone who uses fossil fuel. So he, in essence, wants to blame the United States and Europe, maybe even China, for causing the problem that besieged his country. And of course, it has nothing to do with the burning of fossil fuels or carbon dioxide. And man's contribution to global warming is somewhere between zero and insignificant. And man's capability of resolving this current cycle of warming, which will last many hundreds of years, is zero. So Silas said that he will refrain from eating during the 12-day conference until a meaningful outcome is in sight. I hope the man's obese and he slims down. That would be good. He called for concrete pledges to the Green Climate Fund. Yeah, it's all about money. Meaningful outcome from his point of view is either cap and trade or carbon tax. All about money. He's a socialist. He wants to redistribute money. He wants money to come to him and to his country and be taken from those countries that are productive. Now, mind you, the countries that are productive are the countries that are feeding his people. They're the countries that are flying supplies into his people. They're the countries that make the equipment that will be used to salvage life in his country. He said a UN fund that is aimed at helping developing nations reduce their climate change emissions and adapt means to adjust to the impacts of climate change. And he says we'll have to continue to come fast until we see real ambition on climate action in accordance with the principles of the convention. They want to change human behavior, and the only way you do that is as a communist or fascist regime where you can dictate, as, like, for example, Obama wants to do on American health care. Well, this guy would like to dictate what you can do, how warm your home can be, how far you can drive in your car, whether or not you can even have a car, whether your business can continue to operate, whether you can turn the lights on or not. We have Glenn calling in from Philadelphia. I understand Glenn has a comment on relief in the Philippines. Hello, Glenn. Sorry for keeping you on hold.
That's all right. Good morning, Adam. I'm changing off of my Bluetooth.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I saw a BBC News TV report this morning that showed a U.S. Marine Corps C-130 arriving empty at the Tacloban Airport in the Philippines.
Okay.
And that's a plane that's capable of midair refueling, so it's not a fuel issue.
Right.
That plane could have arrived laden with pallets of potable water, blankets,
right,
and first aid supplies.
And tarps.
Loaded it.
Huh? And tarps. You know, I mean, the two things they need. I mean, Glenn, you're right. The two, from my point of view, and I think you're over the agreement here. There are three things they need desperately. One is they need a Caterpillar, you know, a bulldozer. Because you can't have people survive in an area that is just littered with rotting debris. And so they've got to get a bulldozer in there. And that C-130 could have carried multiple bulldozers. Second, they need tarps. They need tarps to keep water off of people. And three, they need portable water. Those are the big three.
Potable water is the key to preventing dysentery, typhus, and hepatitis.
We are in complete agreement that the single most important thing here is the portable water. But if you don't have a bulldozer, then you can't clear these areas. Because right now you've got stagnant water. You've got people defecating in this standing water and people trying to drink that standing water. It really is, you really do need a combination of portable water for people to be able to drink, potable water, as they call it, and also a bulldozer. Because even if you have bottled water, you can't survive in an area that's swampy that people are using as a latrine and just filled with dead bodies. So you need both.
The Air Force has a plane called the Globemaster. It's a jet plane that supersedes the C-130, and it looks like a stubby C-5 Galaxy.
And Is that the C-17?
No, I don't believe so. I forget the designation.
Okay. Because we do have a two-engine jet that's a C-17 that was supposed to replace the C-130 that's a jet version of, as you know, the C-130
is a
turboprop.
The C-17, I know it's called the Globemaster. It has a T-tail. It looks like a cigar stub up on the
Galaxy. Yeah, I think that is the C-17, right.
Uh-huh. And they could get those in there. And you know, these could have been prepped in on the runway prior to the dissipation of the storm. They could have done a Berlin airlift. These are the people who hosted us at Subic Bay for decades during the Cold War until we abandoned them. You know, and a couple months ago.
Well, actually, we didn't so much abandon them as they told us to get the hell out.
Well,
We haven't been exactly the best in the world as it relates to the Philippines. I actually have done a study. It's way too long for me to present. I don't know how I'm going to present it, but it's called America's 100 Wars. And we have invaded and occupied the Philippines, and they've had to have a war of independence to get rid of us. So they were happy for us to leave Subic Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I stand corrected on that. I know their economy took a hit when that left, too. But I still think we at least owe to them. A couple months ago, the U.S. military had planes stacked up on top of themselves in Guam and Diego Garcia to attack Syria. But when it comes to saving lives, you know, my tax money doesn't get spent for that.
But, you know, you and I are in a complete agreement there. I think America would be vastly more secure and safe if we didn't have a military. But that's not to say that America shouldn't have the ability, not only for Americans, but also for other people to be able to provide humanitarian relief. And our airlift capabilities with C-17s and C-130s, perfect example of that. You know, we don't have to have an aircraft carrier that is used to project a force and therefore engage in foreign wars in places like Afghanistan and Iraq, making bad situations worse. We can use them as floating hospitals and places to supply food and relief efforts in places like this. And the love and appreciation we would garner from that would be so much more valuable to America than the hatred that we garner from our drones and our shock and awe airstrikes.
Yeah, and they seem to be using the same delaying tactics in dispensing aid as they used in New Orleans. You know, let the crisis get good and desperate before you do anything, and then when you finally do something, make it inept and crazy, you know?
You know, the thing, too, is that you can actually stage relief efforts. First, I mean, the first thing you want to do is you want to, when you have a storm like this where you have plenty of warning, 5 days is the case we had in New Orleans, 5 days is the case we had here, you want to get people to higher ground so you're not conducting a rescue mission. It was so easy to move these people to high ground. No one had to die. And then once you do that, of course, the climatologists knew this. And the climatologists know that, in fact, the Earth has been cooling these last couple of years, which is why we didn't have any material hurricanes in the United States this year, and that this has nothing to do with man's activity. In fact, it's man's lack of responsibility that turned what would have been a disaster into, living in hell for those poor people.
I'm sure the computer models showed precisely what was going to happen with that water when that storm hit. You know, yeah, nobody forewarned
it was projected,
or anything.
Yeah, Glenn, it was projected to be 8 to 10 foot storm surge. 8 to 10 foot storm surge was what was predicted. And that 8 to 10 foot storm surge, the storm was coming in directly from the east, moving west. That meant that the low-lying areas of which Tacloban is a low-lying area, in fact, it's an isthmus, so it's the worst possible spot, had a zero chance of avoiding an 8 to 10 foot storm surge. You know what they got? An 8 to 10 foot storm surge. Exactly.
Right.
And there was a 0% possibility that it wouldn't happen. In fact, I was listening to one of the reporters today on CNN, and they were talking about how the people were complaining that they were told that it was going to be a 8 to 10 foot storm surge as opposed to a tsunami. If they were told it had been a tsunami, they would have gotten out of harm's way.
A rose by any other name. It was just a
tsunami. Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah,
that's all I had. I'm tired of having my 25% of my gross income going to nothing but death dealing.
You know, you are and I are in agreement there. One of these days, and I'm struggling with how to present it, Glenn, but, you know, I do want to start with where we have started before, with Thomas Jefferson, who I think is the most intellectual, cerebral, thoughtful American. I want to start with his overt hostility towards an established military. And then from there, I have prepared the document now. It's just so long. It's America's 100 Wars. And to demonstrate that we have not fought a single war that protected American liberty, that prevented the occupation of America, and how we could use that the money that we squander blowing things up and killing people and turning the world into our enemy, we could use that money so much better doing other things with it. So
I
think we're on the same page here.
I suspect Jefferson kicked off the wrong people, and even in his own day, it might have helped account for why he ended his life in such dire financial straits, unable to even sell Monticello or anything. You know,
maybe I think his yes and no. I mean, he and Washington were not the best of friends, and Washington, of course, was a Freemason and a military man, and Jefferson despised the military more than he despised religion. And so I'm sure that would have left them at arm's length. Jefferson's, the people that he got along best with were Adams, Monroe, and Madison. Monroe essentially wrote the Bill of Rights, and Madison wrote most of the Constitution. Of course, Jefferson, the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson may have done that. I think the reason Jefferson ended his life poor is really a factor of two things. One is that he spent much of his most productive years in France trying to rally support for the American Revolution, and if it hadn't been for the French, I don't think we would have prevailed. Absolutely. It was Jefferson's relationship with the French that ultimately brought the French in. The French didn't come to help America. They could care less about America. But Jefferson was able to convince them that because they were rivals with the British, that this was in their interest. And so Jefferson convinced them to come. Had he not done so, we would not have prevailed in the Revolution. And so Jefferson was away from from Monticello for most of his most productive years. Then he went to Washington to serve the country and was gone for that period of time. And he built Monticello on top of a hill, which was the least productive place that you could build it from.
Did it to mock Washington. Monticello was Roman.
Yeah, this is true. Well, welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the myth of man-made global warming. This is now a quote from Sana, the idiot from the Philippines that is on a hunger strike because he thinks that humans caused the typhoon that struck his country, and that he's going to continue to starve himself until humans change the planet so that typhoons no longer strike his planet or like his country. He told CNN's Connect the World that while the complete picture of climate change is still being studied, the highest increase in measured sea levels over the past seven decades has been in the waters just east of the Philippines. By the way, the sea level has risen since about 1875, with intermittent periods where it has actually dropped some, and it has because of the fact that since 1875 we've been in a cycle of warming which will last several hundred years, could last as much as 600 to 700 years before the Earth goes into a cooling period. If you want to stop areas of sea level rise that are greater than others, you could stop the rotation of the planet. Now, of course, that would kill us all. You could stop the sun, and you could stop the jet stream. I mean, these are the kinds of things, because it's driven by the Earth's rotation, winds as well as you could obliterate the moon, and we wouldn't have tides anymore. But that probably would not be advantageous. He then has this quote, "The precautionary principle tells you that you shouldn't wait for full scientific certainty before doing something or taking action. How many lives do we want to lose, not just in the Philippines, but in communities that have other climate impacts?" So, yeah, he's saying that this typhoon is the responsibility of the global warming nations, and that we need to take action against them, stop them. Otherwise, other nations will suffer. Now, mind you, 100% of the relief that seems to be coming into the Philippines is being provided by those same global warming nations and using their equipment, and equipment that burns fossil fuels, but he doesn't want to talk about that. This notion that man is responsible and can change the climate is egotistical in the extreme. We have Al calling in from the Tampa area of Florida and wants to speak about the Constitution and military force since it became part of that last discussion. Hello, Al. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Yada?
Good.
Yes, I am definitely in agreement with what you and the former caller were just talking about. Go back on what you just said, just like these people, and I speak to people all the time about the global deal and what a farce it is, and these people that are so proponent of that, then don't eat anymore or don't drive anything or just cease to let your life die out, and there you go. You just help the planet.
You know that sauna right over there in Poland ought to not have flown there because, of course, you were burning fossil fuels on that jet airplane. He ought not go back because he would be burning more fossil fuels on the jet airplane. He should be turning down the C-130s that are landing there because, of course, those turbines are burning fossil fuels. He ought to be opposed to the aircraft carrier and the battle group that's surrounding it because they're major burners of fossil fuels. Let's hope the aircraft carrier has a nuclear power plant, but it's only one of, a dozen or so ships that are part of that battle group. He ought to be opposed to all of it. I mean, he should be opposed to the Caterpillar that can clear away the land and makes it suitable for the people to live, and the trucks that will be delivering the food, or even the farmers that grew that food. All of it, right?
Absolutely.
And don't we use fossil fuels to make plastics, that those bottled water containers? And what kind of a nincompoop is this fellow that you would actually be so zealous in your socialist, secular, humanist religion that you think that man was responsible for that typhoon, or that you would use that typhoon to advance your political agenda? It's pathetic.
Yeah, but their argument is fast for money, so I just don't get it. I was former military a long time ago. I was in the Asian areas, and things that we could do almost incredibly instant were, preparedness, this and that. And
Al, what I want you to do is, if you wouldn't mind, I know the news takes a while and there's commercials at the top of the hour, but since this is important, I want to hear what you have to say. Could you hang on through the news in commercial break, or at least call when they're over and rejoin us at the in the second hour?
Sure, I'll hold.